my father could use a little mercy now. The fruits of his labor falling right slowly on the ground. His work is almost over. It won't be long. He won't be around. I love my father. He could use some mercy now. My brother could use a little mercy now. He's a stranger to freedom. He's shackled to his fear and his doubt. The pain that he lives in, it's almost more than living will allow. I love my brother. He could use some mercy now. My church and my country could use a little mercy now. They sank into a poison pit. It's gonna take forever to climb out. They carry the weight of the faithful who follow them down. I love my church and country. They could use some mercy now.
From high atop the hidden bunker in the Rocky Mountains, it's time for Downrange Radio and your host, Michael Bain.
And so the new battle begins, one in which all of us, men and women, are reaffirmed as warriors. That's the message from yesterday. It's a message that I didn't want to hear. It's a message that you didn't want to hear. It's nonetheless a message that we're going to have to get out to every corner of the land. I'm Michael Bain. This is Downrange Radio, the audio podcast incarnation of Downrange Television, www.downrangetv. And it's November 5th, the day after November 4th, the day after America voted in a way that you and I would perhaps not have chosen them to vote. America elected a new president, Barack Hussein Obama, a man whose anti-gun record is long and deep. Nonetheless, he was elected president. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about what that means for us. We have a new battlefield. We have new battles coming. And if I could quote John Sigler, my friend, president of the NRA, somebody I've talked to extensively about this. One of the things John said to me months and months ago, and I believe we've quoted this before, is that no matter what, we've been here before. We've had to fight under tough odds before. I think most of us remember the Clinton administration, 8 years of the Clinton administration, 8 years of steady battling for the right to keep and bear arms. We remember worse administrations than that. Some of us who are older, we remember, God help us all, Jimmy Carter. We remember the fight, and the fight has been hard, and you know what? It's going to get harder. It's not going to be an easy fight. But the thing is, the key point that John made is that we're strong. We, the gun culture, the gun vote, we're strong. We're stronger than we have ever been. We're certainly stronger than we were in 1993. At the beginning of the Clinton mess, at the beginning of the Clinton ban, we're a lot stronger than we were then. We're a lot more organized than we were then. We are a powerful lobby. We are the most powerful lobby in the United States. And we're going to have to, over the next couple of years, until the next election, until we have a chance to throw the bums out, we're going to have to make sure that we remember that we are that lobby. Now, how does the new battlefield look for us? Okay, well, it's, you know, there, I think there's a twofold point here that I want to make. Yes, there's going to be a battle in Congress. You know, we've got a Democratic Congress. We've got a Democratic Congress with what it perceives as a mandate, you know. But there's a saying in the military that, you know, when you're doing all your planning for a battle and you're doing your planning for a war, that a lot of times what new military commanders forget is that the enemy has a voice. The enemy gets a vote. And to translate that into politics, what that means is the opposition gets a vote too. So things that are going to happen, let's first look at the national scale. Do I believe that the Democrats are going to attempt to run an assault weapons ban through Congress? Yes, absolutely. It's in the Democratic platform. Obama mentioned it when he accepted his nomination. This is a holy writ. A holy writ for liberal Democrats is the idea of an assault weapons ban. And so are we going to be looking at one? Yes. Is it an absolute certainty? Absolutely not. Why? Well, there are still a few conservatives left in Congress, thankfully. Just as importantly, there are a lot of Democrats who are no longer buying the party line on guns. And they are, you know, we've called them in the past, generally referred to as the Blue Dog Democrats. They are the more conservative Democrats who were elected specifically. You know, one of the big reasons that led to their election was that they were able to essentially negate the gun vote, and not by just adopting the third way. If you've been to the Michael Bain blog and you've read some of that material, you know that Obama campaigned on what is called basically a creation by some of the Democratic Leadership Council, the third way. Which is basically the third way is lying. The third way is lying. The third way is saying, I love guns. Guns are wonderful. And when somebody says, you know, you've spent your entire career voting against gun rights, voting against all these issues, gun issues, you say, I love guns. Guns are important. Second Amendment, blah, blah. That's the third way. But, you know, there are a lot of Democrats now in Congress who are not third way Democrats, but are in fact Democrats who, on their conscience are pro-gun. And they are not, I believe, and I hope, I mean, a certain amount of this is optimism and hope, of course, but I believe that they're not going to be willing to step out there and throw us to the wolves. Because, you know what? We knew what happened in 1994 when basically the Democrats threw us to the wolves. As soon as there was an election, they were thrown to the wolves. Because the gun vote is powerful when aroused. Unfortunately, we weren't powerful enough to swing this election. I think we would have swung it, quite frankly, if the economy hadn't tanked on us, you know, if we hadn't had what amounts to a wholesale economic collapse the month before the election. That's a bear. That's a bear. But we're going to have to appeal to those Blue Dog Democrats, and we're going to have to solidify our base with the remaining Republicans. And why do I say solidify our base? It's important. It's very important because you know what? In this election, one of the things that you've also read in the Michael Bain blog on some of the commentary is that we weren't there again. We weren't there again. The gun vote wasn't there again. Even political analysts said they didn't understand why John McCain and Sarah Palin weren't hitting every small town in America and talk about guns, 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 guns. Hell, Hillary Clinton, who has certainly never been a friend of ours, Hillary Clinton talked about guns during the primary in Pennsylvania. And yet we didn't. Yet we didn't. And that, to me, always is part and parcel of this idea that the gun vote is impossible. We're invisible. I'm sorry. Not impossible. We're invisible. We're the crazy uncles in the closet. The Republicans understand that they need us to win. At the same time, a lot of Republicans don't get it. They don't understand why it's such an important issue to us, why it's such a profound and fundamental rights issue to us. So we're going to have to explain that to them, and we're going to have to do that in a way that is not doing the same old thing. We all know that, what's the line? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing the same way over and over again and expecting different results. We as a gun culture have failed to reach out to our Republican allies. We have failed to reach out to our Democratic allies And we've done that consistently over the period of time when we should have been nailing things down. During the period of time when the Republicans held Congress, when Bush, Bush is gone, all right? George Bush is gone. Good frickin' riddance. I'm sorry that he was replaced by Mr. Obama, by Mr. Hussein Obama. But I'm not sorry to see the man go, because the man did a huge amount of damage to the conservative cause. And now we're going to have to repair that damage. And we in the gun culture are going to have to do some reaching out a couple of different ways. One thing, my friend Sebastian, that's not his real name, but that's what he blogs under. Sebastian over in Snowflakes in Hell has made a couple of excellent points over the last few weeks in that in discussing this issue of invisibility, of gun culture invisibility. And that's that we don't typically make ourselves highly visible at a local level. So when someone runs locally, a lot of times, they get voted in, they get voted out without ever hearing that the gun vote, the gun lobby, other than an NRA grade, was attached to what they were doing. And that's a big issue. Because what happens is, yes, the NRA rates candidates. And yes, I mean, quite frankly, when I went to the polls, I voted in advance by mail. I voted a straight NRA ticket. Really simple. I went down the line and marked for the NRA because that's where I stand. You know, I'm a one-issue voter. I vote guns. But we need to do more than that. It's not enough to simply take a flyer from the National Rifle Association or a flyer from the National Shooting Sports Foundation or Gun Owners of America or Second Amendment Foundation. It's not enough to take that flyer and walk into the polls and pull the levers, make the X's, push the electronic machine, God, whatever we all did there. But, I mean, that's important. But what that doesn't do is it doesn't give local candidates the ability to interact with us personally. It doesn't give local candidates a chance to talk to us, to find out why this is really important to us. And so what happens is when they get to Washington, they don't have that baseline understanding of the issue. In their heads, they go, oh, God, I got a C from the NRA, whack. I mean, there goes X number of votes. You can say, yes, in an ideal world, it's a candidate's responsibility to reach out to us, the voters. But you know what? It's not an ideal world. It's not an ideal world. And there is a lot of racket out there, a lot of noise out there, a lot of other people clamoring for attention out there. And so what happens is those other people clamor. The candidates, the people that get elected, are paying attention to those other people. They go to Washington without an understanding of why the gun vote is important, without an understanding of why the Second Amendment means so much to us. They do not understand. And in some cases, in all honesty, and you know, I've been in Washington. You know, I've spent time in Washington. I've spent time with our supporters. I've spent time with our enemies in Washington. You know, I've been involved in the politics at that level. And I was profoundly surprised to discover that some of our supporters, people who support us 100%, you know, on hunting issues, on access issues, blah, blah, really don't have a deep grounding in what the Second Amendment truly means and why it's important to us, and more than what it means. I mean, I'm not saying, wow, let's go to meetings and lecture to candidates. What we need to do is we need to explain to candidates our passion. We need to let them see our passion for liberty, our passion for rights, and how that passion is inextricably linked to the Second Amendment and to gun rights in America. We need to reach out and show that passion, not lecture. I have been to political meetings where people, for all the right reasons, guys on our side, men and women on our side, stood up and lectured candidates on the real meaning of the Second Amendment. And you know what that bought us? That bought us crap. It didn't buy us anything. We like to do it, and it feels good to do that. But that's not showing our passion. That's not explaining who we are. And that is our challenge. You know, yes, as military commanders say, the opposition has a vote. The opposition has a vote. We are the opposition. And we need to clearly state to those supporters that we have in Washington what votes we need them to take. Yes, I you know, as you know, I 100% support the NRA. I am a life member of the NRA. If I could wave my magic wand, I would make every single gun owner a member of the NRA. And one of the things I've said in public about the NRA and in news reports and interviews with and the NRA, I've said that the NRA is our attack dog, and damn, they're good at it. That's what they do. We give them money to attack. We give them money to fight for us. But what the NRA is not good at is conveying our passion for liberty to the people in Washington. And that's what we need to do. And, you know, I'm not telling you that it's not going to be hard. I mean, it is going to be hard, because one of the things we're going to have to do is unlike the lame and empty promises for those that were elected about bipartisanship, those of us in the gun culture need to live that bipartisanship, and that's hard for me. You guys know I am a ground-up conservative. I'm a libertarian conservative. I have been one my entire life. You know, I drift off into odd areas back when I was in college, but underneath those odd areas was always a baseline libertarianism. And of course, we're the wing of the Republican Party that causes it, the libertarian wing that causes them to break out in hives. But that baseline libertarianism has had me allied with the Republicans for a long time. But that is not going to do in the new world. It's not going to do, people. We're going to have to reach out to the Democrats, and we're going to have to, the guys who are clearly on our side, and some there, you know, it's a little rockier. I mean, I live here in Colorado, right? I live here at the secret hidden bunker in the Rocky Mountains, which is buttoned down today. Yes, indeedy. Where my senator is Ken Salazar, who's a Democrat. But I note that Ken Salazar joined John McCain to sign the brief to the Supreme Court that, yes, the Second Amendment represents an individual right. He stood up for that. He's a Democrat who stood up for that. His brother, Representative John Salazar, carries an A rating from the NRA. He is also a Democrat. We need to reach out to the other party. And more than that, and this is where it gets scary, we also need to reach out to the members of the other party and the Republicans who are not 100% with us, who are maybe 60% with us, or who are leaning in that way. We need to reach out in a lucid, intelligent way to explain our passion for liberty, to explain why that passion for liberty is fundamentally grounded in firearms rights in the United States. And we need to make our cases clear and lucidly, and we need to be visible. We need to be visible. We can't just sit back and wait for the NRA flyer, people. We did that this year. We sat back, we waited for the NRA flyer, we pulled the lever, and not enough of us pulled it, right? Or too many people on the other side pulled it. So we need that visibility, and I agree with Sebastian on that from Snowflakes in Hell. I agree that we need to be at local meetings. We need to talk to local candidates, and we need to say, you know what? We're the gun lobby. And you know, we're not some sort of spooky men, you know, the boogeymen out of Washington. We're the gun lobby. We're the guys. We're the women. We're the men and women in your district, and we feel very strongly about this, and we feel that we have been profoundly misrepresented by our enemies. By our enemies, and they are our enemies on the anti-gun side. They are not people who feel differently than us. They are our sworn enemies. But we have been misrepresented by those enemies, and we have been misrepresented by the media. I'm not going to get into the media on this campaign. I think every one of us out there is on the same on the same page here. The election results would not be what they were if the media, the mainstream media, was not in the tank for Obama. We understand that. We know that, not just the gun culture, but certainly conservatives as a whole, we understand that. And I believe over the next years, we will make the mainstream media pay. And we will make them pay in a way that they understand, which is reduced revenues. Let's see the New York Times go broke. That would be the best thing we could do for America, is the end of the New York Times, the end of the Washington Post, because they've abrogated their rights as journalists. And I say that as a lifelong journalist. I got my first quote unquote press card when I was 18 years old. And I've had a mainstream media press card ever since I was 18 years old. And it was a profession that I was unutterably proud to be in. And I am no longer proud to be in it. The mainstream media went in the tank. help swing a national election. And from at least from a mainstream media standpoint, let them reap the whirlwind. And it's coming, boys and girls. It's coming. So we need to talk to our local candidates, whether it's the guy on the school board or the guy who's running for Congress or the guy who's running for state Senate. And we need to say to him, we are the gun lobby. And we're not monsters. We're not the guys we're made out to be. We're people who have a legitimate and profound respect for liberty. We have a profound respect for rights. And we need to show you why that is important, because you don't understand. So, I mean, is that scary? Yeah. I mean, God, you've heard my political rants for the last, like, I don't know, 6 months. I hit hard. And I've hit hard in local politics. And there are local politicians who I can honestly tell you profoundly wish I was dead. But I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to work the opposite side of that fence. Yes, we need to hit, but we also need to reach out. So when we look at a national stage, we're going to have to do some educating with the Blue Dogs. We're going to have to do some educating with the Republicans. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to present a proposal to the National Rifle Association and the National Shooting Sports Foundation, putting together a major educational piece on black rifles, on high-tech rifles. Now, what I need to do, what I feel that we as an industry need to do, is create a piece, a multimedia piece, written with facts, that explains the issue in a way that's not, it's not us, them. It's not, oh my God, if you ban assault rifles, the world is going to end, you know. We're going to go to the bunkers, boys. We're going to go, you know, we're cock-locked, ready to rock. We don't need to do that. What we need to do is educate. And I am going to suggest that this industry step up right now. Right now. Not in the future. Not when, oh my God, the threat suddenly appears on the horizon. But right now, let's get started. Let's put together a piece, an educational piece that shows where we stand. Why we stand there. Show what the AR-15 is. Show what the black rifles are. Explain all those facts that most of the people in Washington do not understand. How do I know that? Hey, I ran a media event for Congressional AIDS, and several years back under the auspices of the National Shooting Sports Foundation, I ran a media event on black rifles for Congressional AIDS, and I have never in my life heard so much misinformation spouted by a lot of very smart people. We have to fix that. I am going to call on the industry to stand up, to let's put this together. Let's get ready for the fight, because the fight is coming. And you know what? Oh, gosh, in times of peace, you prepare for war. I mean, we're past that now, right? We've got a new Democratic president. We've got a new Democratic Congress. We know the battle is coming. So it is incumbent on us to prepare for the battle. And the first thing we need to do is reach out to our supporters and make sure they're 100%. Give them the tools to stand up in Congress and say, I will not support this. Give Ken Salazar the tools to stand up and say, I'm a Democrat and I will not vote for this bill. If we don't give him the tools, he can't do it. If we don't give Jim West the tools, he can't do it. Jim West. I'm thinking the Wild Wild. Okay. Jim Webb. If we don't give Jim Webb the tools, he can't do it. And he is on our side. We have to give them the tools. We have to fight harder than the other side. The other side has the mainstream media. And I can guarantee you the mainstream media will be in the tank for an assault weapons ban. We're going to have to prepare for that, to fight that as well. So I'm going to call on the industry to start preparing right now. Start preparing right now. Because the better prepared we are going into the fight, we're not going to look like we did in 93, which in some cases in 93, we look like a barrel full of monkeys turned over. We're not going to let that happen to us again. We can't afford to let that happen to us again. So that's number one. You know, we're again, the opposition has a vote. We are the opposition. It is imperative for us to make sure that those people left standing for us understand what we want them to do. Yeah, there's going to be a fight on Supreme Court justices, but that's not the first fight. You know, in my opinion, and again, it's only my opinion, and God knows I've been wrong. In my opinion, the first fight is over assault weapons bans and 50s. That's where the first fight is, and that's where we have to start drawing our lines. That's where we have to start preparing ourselves. I certainly know. I'll bet you money that's what Ronnie Barrett is doing right now. He's burning up some telephone lines, getting ready for the battle, and it's going to be expensive, and it's going to be hard. On a local scale, that's on a national scale. On a local scale, I mean, all this, as I said, it applies. We need to be more visible locally. We can't just wait for the NRA flyer and pull the lever. We need to be visible locally. We need to be visible in local politics. Because here's the other thing that's going to happen. Our enemies are going to be hugely emboldened. And they're going to attack in areas where, you know, and generally, my thinking is always, if you want to know what's going to happen in the future, you might take a look in the past and see what happened. They're going to attack areas where they think they can get easy victories. For example, I fully expect the Forest Service to simply take off the mask and go whole hog trying to close as much land as they can to shooting. Why? Hey, they tried it under a Republican administration. They're going to try it under a Democratic administration. And the problem is there's no way to fight it at a macro level. There will be no way to fight it in Washington. Or there will be less of an opportunity to fight it in Washington because there's no backstop in Washington. Instead, we're going to have to fight it at a local level, every fire that comes up. So we're going to have to call on our national organizations to step up on this one. NRA, NSSF, they're going to have to step up and provide us with a clearinghouse of how we need to fight local issues, local and regional anti-gun issues, because they will come. And one of the things that we found, certainly one of the things the industry learned in fighting the lawsuits, in fighting the city suits, was that as soon as we had a coordinated plan, things started going better. So NSSF, NRA, they're going to have to step up. They're going to have to help us figure out the way to fight locally. They're going to have to help us with resources. But in the end, it comes down to us. In the end, it always comes down to us. And we have to do that fight. I mean, and, you know, gosh, what can I say? On a personal level, I'm not looking forward to it. I've been in the trenches a long time. I'm tired of being in the trenches. And it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't. The battle doesn't ask you whether you're tired or not. So we're going to have to be in the trenches locally. We're going to have to share information. The good news is we got the internet at a much higher level. You know, in 93, the internet was just kind of a gleam in people's eyes, just starting up. But we have ways of communicating quickly. We have ways of communicating information very quickly back and forth, and of building national battle plans on local issues. Right. So that's what our battlefields look like. And, you know, I know you thought, oh, Michael's going to rant and he's going to rant for hours and all. No, I mean, we lost. Simple truth. We lost. There's a new president. He's not the guy we would have chosen. He is the president. Our job now as the opposition is to guarantee that our vote counts. It's to guarantee that the opposition's vote counts. That is our job, and that is what we have to do. So, gosh, all of you who voted, thank you. There's not much more that you can say than that. Thank you. You got out there. You worked this election. You know, all those bloggers out there who slammed away. We did good. We did good. We lost, but we did good. And we learn lessons, each of us, you know, we learn lessons from what we didn't do right. And those lessons are going to be important to us in 2 years because, I believe when the current president finishes wrecking the economy, there's going to be a lot less enthusiasm, perhaps, for some of the more extreme Democrats that are now clearly in control. So, gosh, you know, I think I'm going to wrap it up right here now. You know, the good thing is that once you're past the election, it's time to start planning. It's time to start moving forward. And we can't remember that we had our greatest victory ever this year, DC v. Heller. And that's going to make it easier for us to fight. That's going to give us some grounding, some solid rock under our feet to work from. So, what I'm going to do is let Mary Gauthier go ahead and take us out with Mercy Now. And, It's not a cheery song, but these are not cheery times. But you know what? I think we could all use a little mercy now, and I think we need to, after we stop, think, catch our breath, maybe let some of the venom from this horrible campaign drain out of our blood, then we refocus ourselves, as we have always been focused, on the right to keep and bear arms, the right to be free in America, because that's what we're all about. So, I'm Michael Bain. As always, anything we mention here, you can see on Downrange TV, www.downrangetv. And, you know, next week we're moving forward. Next week we'll be talking guns again. And until then, guys, hey, stay safe out there.
Only the hand of grace can end the race towards another mushroom cloud. People in power, they'll do anything to keep their crown. I love life and life itself. Could you use some mercy now? Now I know we don't deserve it, but we need it anyhow. We hang in the balance, dangle between hell and hallowed ground. Every single one of us could use some mercy now. Every single one of us could use some mercy now. Every single